We'll take time just to sing another verse of a hymn. Number 4 in the green book again. Number 4. All things are ready, come. Come to the supper spread. Come rich and poor, come young and old. Come and be richly fed. Just verse 2, standing in the chorus. Number 4.
All things are ready, come. The invitation's give. Through Him who now in glory sits, at God's right hand in heaven. I am coming, Lord, coming up to Thee, trusting in Thy precious blood.
Turn with me further, please, into the scriptures, the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 16. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 16. The Gospel according to Luke in chapter 16, and we'll take our reading from verse number 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, or brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Last night, we were looking at the young son. Well, he was the younger of the two sons. We often refer to him as the young son. We looked last night and saw together. We don't know how old he actually was when he left home. We presume he was still a young man. And we don't know how old he was when he returned home. But the emphasis on the message last night was this, that it wasn't too late. There was an opportunity still for that young man, for that man to be right, for that man to be made right. There was an opportunity for that man to repent. There was an opportunity for that man to return home. But I want the emphasis on the message tonight to be placed on nets, that it was too late for this man in Luke 16. If it was time enough for the man in Luke 15, it was too late for the man in Luke 16. He died. He was buried. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What a tragedy. An absolute tragedy this evening. That one can lift up their eyes in hell, being in torment. Missed the opportunity to be right. Missed the opportunity to repent. Missed the opportunity to be saved. Missed the opportunity to be in heaven. Missed the opportunity to live for God. Missed the opportunity to have a life that in some way could bring glory to God. And went down into hell. A wasted life, never to be regained, never to be got back, never another opportunity to live for God and for Christ, never another opportunity to hear the gospel, never another opportunity to turn and repent, never another opportunity to enjoy it. What a terrible predicament for any soul to be in. We've been preaching the gospel for a number of nights in Dunedin. I wonder how many souls in Dunedin have already gone into eternity in this past week and a half. I wonder how many souls in the hospital. I wonder if there's been anyone involved in an accident. I wonder if there's been some that have just dropped dead with no warning. Just going to the hospital last week to visit a young man in the hospital, who in a moment was just standing, enjoying himself and looking after a fire, and within a moment, burnt. Thank God his life was preserved, his life was saved. But there's many, and they've gone out into eternity, and they've missed Christ, and missed the gospel, and missed being right with God. And this man was one. I wonder where do you stand? I wonder how it would be for you if God was to call your soul out of this existence and into the eternal, timeless realm this very evening. And to call your soul from its body, and they would lower your body as they did to this man, down into the grave and cover it over with the earth. Where would you be? Would you be in hell, in torments, having heard the gospel, having heard how you could be saved, having heard how you could be right, having an opportunity? And you missed it. Oh, the reality of this, the seriousness of this. Again, as Len was preaching, I was thinking about the very people that were involved in that chapter. Those that departed and went out from the presence of the Lord. I wonder where they are this evening. They were living creatures, living human beings. We tend to think that because they were on the page of Scripture, because it was a couple of thousand years ago, we kind of detach ourselves from them. We fail to understand that they're creatures who are in eternity this very evening, just like you, just like me, a body. They were able to think, see, feel, speak. They were able to handle the Scriptures. They were able to see the Son of God. They were able to listen to Him. Where are they this evening? Where are they as we preach the gospel in Mornington, Dunedin? They're in eternity, but are they saved in the presence of the one who they stood before that day? Or did they depart out of his presence to depart forever? Where do you stand? Are you saved in the meeting this evening? Does it interest you to be saved? Are you repentant of your sin? Have you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe there's not much time left. Maybe the Lord will come.
and gather away the Christians, and it will be too late to be part of that wonderful bride. It will be too late to be saved in the day of grace. It will be final. It will be over. The door will be shut. Or maybe your soul will be taken in death. Oh, the reality and the tragedy. Just to be one breath away from eternity, for that's all we are. Our next breath could be our last. That's how fragile we are. Just the fragility of life, the brevity of life, how short it is, how fragile it is, that we could just be one breath away from stepping into the great vast unknown, to be stepping into the great eternity. Either to be with Christ, which is far better, or to be lost and to go down to hell like this man. A man that had everything in life. A man that was self-centered. A man that had all the riches he could possibly desire. And a poor man, a beggar man, sitting at his gate. But very evidently, a man that was sitting at his gate that was saved. A man that was sitting at his gate that knew something as to salvation. Maybe there's someone in the meeting this evening and you're not saved, but you know people that are saved. Knowing people that are saved is not good enough in the meeting tonight. Just because you may know the people in the gospel hall in Mornington, that's not going to bring you salvation. You may know a neighbor. You may know a Christian up the street. That's not going to bring you salvation either. This man, he probably walked or drove or got driven past this man that was seated at his gate every day. Maybe he went in and out the gate daily a number of times, clothed in his purple, faring sumptuously, going home to a table laden with food that this man that was set at the gate would just desire if he could have the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And he was a man without God and without Christ and on his way to hell. He was on his way to hell. That's where he was going. Yes, going in and out of the gate every day, driving up and down the driveway, enjoying all the riches that he had, but he was on the way to hell. Where are you on your way to this evening? Are you on your way to heaven to be with Christ? Or are you on your way down to the pit? Are you on your way down to hell this evening, unsaved, out of Christ and in your sins? This is the very reason we preach the gospel, that you may be saved, that you may know God's salvation, that you may believe while it is still today, that you may not harden your heart any further, that you may take the accepted time which is now and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your confidence in the one who died for you at Calvary. I enjoy Christmas time as an opportunity to preach the gospel. Many, many, many people, many people celebrate Christmas. And right throughout Dunedin, people are gearing up to celebrate Christmas. And right throughout the Western world, people are gearing up to celebrate Christmas. And I often ask people, as I would go and speak to them, and ask them about the Lord Jesus, and ask them about salvation, and speak to them about their soul. I'm not interested in that, thank you very much. Could I just ask you, where are you going to celebrate Christmas this year? Are you home or are you at the relatives? Are you going away this Christmas to say, oh yeah, we're celebrating Christmas at home this year? That's funny, because Christmas concerns the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you tell me you don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to know about salvation. But you want Christmas. You want all the presents. You want the best things. That was like this man. He wanted the riches.
He wanted the blessings. He wanted the presence. He wanted the sun to shine from God every day. He wanted the rain to come. He wanted the riches. He wanted the best food. And he got the best food. He had the sun shining. He had the rain coming. And there was blessings on his life. Earthly blessings. But he didn't want the person of Christ. Is there a person in this hall this evening and you want to celebrate Christmas? You want all the trinkets and the fancy bits. You want all the tinsel and the lights. But the Christ of Christmas you don't want anything to do with. You may have Christmas with all the lights and presents and still go down to hell without the Christ of Christmas. Don't be a hypocrite this evening. I often say to people, that would be a hypocrite, wouldn't it? One who celebrated something they don't want to believe in. Very odd. That you want to celebrate something you don't even believe in. Don't be a hypocrite. When today is the day of grace. Today is the day that you can turn from your sin. Today is the day that you can repent and be like that young man that we read about in the last chapter. The young man in which it wasn't too late. We can notice four things about this man. He was what he was in life. He wasn't the same person in death. He didn't change. If you're saved in life, you'll be saved in death. You'll be saved when you experience going through that little porthole of death, which really is entrance, exit from this life, an entrance out into the great eternity. And you go out through that porthole of physical death and enter into that vast, timeless realm. Either to look up and gaze in the eyes of the Son of God. And just thinking about that recently of a woman who we know very well and who we loved. And there's a picture of her just on the door, just in the foyer here, pinned to the wall. A dear lady, a dear sister who knew the Lord Jesus and who had trusted the Saviour, but who died of cancer and went out through that little porthole, and in the moment she closed her eyes on earth at 10:21 on a Saturday morning, she opened them in the very presence of the Son of God in eternity. And she's dwelling at His feet. And she's still there. As I speak to you now, she's gazing into His lovely face. What a position to be in. What a moment for dear Leona. But what would it be if it was you tonight? Where would you be? Would you gaze up into the eyes of the one who you trusted in life? Or would it be without Christ in life, without Christ in death? I remember preaching the gospel down in Dandenong on one occasion. You wouldn't know where Dandenong is. You see, I'm used to preaching the gospel of Australia, but I forgot I'm in New Zealand now, aren't I? Dandenong is in Melbourne, in Australia. And I was preaching the gospel down in Dandenong, one of the suburbs of Melbourne, Australia, last year. And a man, a brother, in this gospel hall where we were preaching, as we were preaching that night, as to the seriousness of what it is to live without Christ and die without Christ. And a man who's a Christian just stopped me on the way out of the door. And as he shook my hand, he said, "Clive, it's like this. God says, if you reject me for your life, I will reject you for my life. How long is your life? If you reject Christ, if you reject God for your life, which may be 10, which may be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and this little life, this little existence upon earth, if you reject God for this life like this man of Luke 16, God says, I will reject you for my life. And that's eternity. For God is the very possessor, the author of eternal life. And that's why we preach the gospel. For we preach that eternal life is to be gained. Hell is to be shunned this very evening. You can know what it is to trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He satisfied the heart of God. Yes, you're a sinner. This evening, as Len has been telling you, from the very word of God. Yes, you're going to perish in hell because of your sin. That's the very consequence. Eternal death is the consequence of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But friend, there's no need. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came all the way from heaven and died upon a cross, laid down His life there in Calvary's Mount 2,000 years ago, so that you may never have to perish in your sin. And He took in His own body the just judgment from God against our sin, as He hung upon the tree and the depths into which He plunged. That He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Would you go down to the grave? Would you go down to eternity? Would you be lost knowing this great and wondrous fact in Dunedin from the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sinless one, who became a man and took upon Him humanity and died on your behalf, who bore judgment on your behalf? Would you go down to hell knowing that this evening? Would you go down to hell rejecting that this evening? Len was speaking about sin and about the degrees of sin. What's the ultimate sin that you can commit this evening? It's to reject the Son of God. To reject God's salvation. You know why these Jews, these religious people, departed out of the very presence of the Lord Jesus? It's because they were in rejection of the Son of God. And if they stayed that way, they're down in hell this evening as we speak in Mornington. And the reality is, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, they can never be released from that position. But yet, to be faced, to be cast into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone forever and ever, which is the second death. Is there seriousness associated with the gospel message? Yes, there is. Our sin is serious. It's serious that it cost the very Son of God His life on Calvary's Mount. And it's serious that knowing that, you would go out in rejection. Just thinking about these people. Here was a man who rejected the Son of God. Here were people in John, where Len has been reading to us from, that were in absolute direct objection to the Son of God. They were absolutely opposed to the Son of God. They had Him in their very midst. Would there be anyone, having heard the gospel, having had the Son of God in our midst, who's here to save souls? And that's the purpose of us lifting up His holy name, that by faith you may trust the Savior, that you may know your sins forgiven, washed away, remembered no more, cast behind His back, buried in the depths of the sea. That you may know what it is to go on in life, to live and please the Son of God, and live with this hope that you're going out to meet Him one day, and your sins, past, present and future, are all forgiven. They're all gone. And if I die on earth, I'll lift up my eyes and see His face. What a wonderful moment. What a wonderful prospect. But where do you stand this evening? If we were to come back to John chapter 6, where Len was reading a few nights ago, we would see the Lord Jesus as the bread of life. If we would come to chapter 7 of John's Gospel, we would see Him as the water of life, spiritual food to quench their hunger, spiritual drink to quench their thirst. This man, he had food and drink stocked up. He had the best kind of food and the best kind of drink, but he went out in rejection of the Son of God. These Jews who Lev has been speaking to us about, very religious people, people that read the Scripture and memorized the Scripture and had the Son of God before them, they had the bread of life. They had rivers of living water that could flow from them if they were to put their faith in the trust in the Son of God. For he would say to them, "He that believeth in me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water."
And this he spake of the Spirit, which them that should believe on him shall receive.
Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him? Or like these men that Len read about, who when the Lord Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, they were the men of chapter 7 who said, "No, we don't want the living water. We don't want the fountains of water." They were the men of the previous chapter who said, "We don't want the bread of life."
Well, people like that, they'll perish. It's very interesting what Len was saying. And I'm going to make one comment, because as I was sitting in my seat and thinking about this, it fitted 100% with the message that I had on my mind. The rejection of the Son of God. Len, he asked the question, what did the Lord Jesus write in the dirt, in the earth, with his finger? When he got down and stooped down to the ground and twice with his finger wrote in the earth, what was he writing? Well, I believe we're told in the Scriptures what he was writing. If you just come with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, the same chapter that tells us in verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? And we find in this very chapter that speaks us to the wickedness of the heart, the desperate wickedness of the heart. Jeremiah chapter 13, and read with me Jeremiah chapter 17. Read with me verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? For the Lord searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his doings, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall eat them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fall. A glorious and high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Now listen to verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Were not these the people that forsook the fountains of living waters? Were not these the people that stood in the very presence of the Son of God and went out from him in conviction of their sin, because they were the rejecters of the Son of God, and they departed out from his presence? And I wonder if he stooped down because of his omniscience. He knew all about them and knew every name of the persons in his company, and with his finger just wrote their names in the very dirt. And they departed from him. But what does the next verse say? Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Friend, there's no need that you go down to hell in rejection of the Son of God. Today, while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for the very person of the Son of God. Help us. Help every person in the meeting. Oh God, that there would not be one that would depart this hall without being sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Grant this, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we sing a verse in closing, please? Bevan has already given this hymn out at the beginning, and we'll sing a verse of it again, please. Number 44. I have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am. Die as I am, yes, die as I am, all hope gone forever if I die as I am. Verse 3, standing, and the chorus of verse 3, we thank you for coming, and we implore you, come back again to the gospel. We implore you to trust the Saviour. Verse 3, and standing.
On my heart I implore that you come be my Lord, till I open and let him come in. I may trust him today, and my sins put away, and he said,